Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. There's a number of different topics I want to talk about right now, but one that's coming to the surface is shame. When I used to share about shame as a teacher, well, first of all, I didn't know what I was talking about, because I would say, just allow the shame. You can't just sit and allow shame. You can, but until you know what shame is and why it's there, you'll do any number of things with shame, perhaps, on a spiritual path. I did. And not a damn thing worked, because I needed to understand the role of shame before I went to process it. And for 5 years as a teacher, I didn't understand the role of shame in consciousness. So I kept processing it the way that people do normally, and it just wouldn't go. I would dissolve certain layers of it, and then its connection to certain sex addiction would help that sex addiction go away. But it never got to the root of suffering. By focusing on shame, I was always on an emotion that was protecting me from the buried anger with shame. And it was kind of like spinning my wheels for years. And as I processed that shame, it just literally protected me and kept me from getting to that buried anger right underneath. I mean, now we've got AI chat. So people who are doing KI, I wish I would have had it 8 years ago. I would have just, because I was stuck on shame. I mean, and all my teachers were kind of misleading me. One of my teachers said, shame is the final layer. He hadn't bothered going to the science or deeply into his body enough, because shame is not the final layer. But now we could just go to AI chat and say, is shame the final layer on a spiritual journey, or is there anything under shame? And here it comes. Here's the research. Shame protects us, just like guilt, from the deeper emotions that we've buried. And see, when you have that understanding from the beginning, it shapes your practice. It changes it. But if you don't have that understanding, you could easily bypass. That's why I'm saying to people, right context is so important. And the idea that we're just being radical by having no framework and just allowing it all keeps us really safe and in repression, because it keeps us ignorant as to how we create suffering and why certain suffering is there a lot and why certain things don't arise. That's all insight that you can't get when you sit and just let shame be there. You can't get it. And that's what shame wants to do, is to protect us. So if we just sit in confusion and shame, as painful as that is, and it is, we're protected. If you've ever been in a relationship in which you brought up a really important issue that you wanted to discuss, and your partner just went quiet and felt ashamed, or you did, and then just notice how that stops the conversation. Because shame isn't an emotion we express. It's what protects us from expressing the deeper buried emotions. And in doing that, it keeps us away from kind of any topic close that would come close to the buried emotions. So you want to talk about money? That could bring about a fear of conflict. I might have some shame around money. You want to talk about sex? Well, that's too close, because that could lead to conflict and vulnerability. So I might feel shame around that. And then how our relationship is doing, I might have some shame around that. Because, well, I've got buried anger, let's say. And if I can just have a little bit of shame around something around our relationship, then I don't have to go to the buried. And if I have addictions and that becomes an issue, well, but I need that to protect myself from the emotions that I've buried that I don't want to come out. So all my suffering in relationship is there to protect me from having a good relationship, having a good and authentic relationship. Thank you, suffering. You're so helpful. Actually, it really is. It's super helpful to live identified with false stuff, because we just are, until we're ready to feel and express those buried emotions, or until we have a process like KI, which allows it, kind of what else are we supposed to do? If we don't know that shame covers buried anger or hurt, what are you supposed to do with it? We're just always doing the best that we can. And so we all get a break in that way. But it's 2024, and we're going to do something different because too many people are suffering by sitting here and saying age-old pointers that are not relevant anymore. Now that we have information about trauma and emotional repression, we can take those old pointers and just throw them in the trash can. The ones that say we can just rest and allow it all. No, we can't. Buried emotions don't arise. Throw that away. Shame is the final layer. There's a thing in spirituality. No, it's not. Science doesn't support that. We're going to throw that away. Well, everything will arise to resolve to awareness. No, it doesn't. Buried emotions don't arise. We're going to throw that away. But we need skill and right context to be able to do that. Because if we don't have the skill to see that the science is correct, that the shame is there to protect you, then we'll just keep processing things like shame or focused on it, which is like just keeping our eye off the ball, or guilt. You see, it's just safer to apologize or feel bad about something than it is to feel and express anger if I have buried anger. So guilt has a way of being something that we like to identify with, like shame. We don't like to, but we stay safe in it, and we continue to be small or deficient by feeling guilty about things that we've done or feeling bad about who we are. But when you do the work of buried emotions, you don't feel bad about who you are. You allow who you are, all of it. You don't feel ashamed around emotions that you don't have any control of. When you were a kid, you just buried some of them, but you didn't know that you did it. You're so innocent. We all are. But if we don't know these deeper insights, and if we don't have the skill, shame's going to stay around for people, is what I've learned. I have some horror stories that don't look like horror stories on the surface until you hear the end. I had a bunch of people, before we ever developed KI repression inquiry, who would come to me, and they were a lot like me. They're like, they'd been around spirituality, maybe they had a shift. The seeking was mostly put to rest, but they had some suffering going on still. They just weren't seeking awakening. And many of them kind of acted as if they were done, just like I did. And yet all of them had some shame left. And yet that would have told me, had I known, and it would have told them, that they have buried emotions still, and that the shame is protecting them. But because I couldn't see it and they couldn't see it, we all just stayed in a bypass around embodying awareness. And just like me, some of them got sick because they didn't get to the buried emotions. They just landed on this place where there was this recognition, some degree of presence, and then quite a bit of suffering went away, but then shame kind of lingered, and they didn't know what to do with that. Just like me. And some of them just stopped processing that and just kind of said, well, there's going to be a certain amount of shame that comes to awareness and I'm mostly free. Well, the punchline, or not the punchline, but the horror story is that so many of them suffered more. Even though they were exposed to Eastern practice and teaching and realization to some degree, because they hadn't gotten to the buried emotions, that shame that they were experiencing was just an indicator of more to come. Disease or whatever else, addictions later, because there was a bypass in their spiritual path. They just couldn't see the effects of it right away. And where it got even more hairy is when we developed emotional repression inquiry, I would talk to people like that. And I would say, look, I caught my own bypass believing things like shame can just be allowed and I don't have any buried emotions and all that. And I would explain my whole story to them. But because they hadn't dealt with, some of them, a real disease from their bypass, they dismissed me. You know, would be in a session, I would say, I know that it looks like you've got all that freedom and there's not a lot of suffering, but you've got that shame and that porn or sex addiction or over here or something. And what I learned about my life is that by not knowing how to process those buried emotions, here came the diseases. Even though I was awake, two serious diseases came. But by and large, I was not able to get most of them to do, the ones who thought they were done, who had been around Eastern practices and teachings, I really couldn't get them to even try KI. And here's the horror story. Quite a few of them continued to suffer and got serious diseases later. After they had an opportunity to do KI, they just didn't do it for the same reason I wouldn't have. Because when you're in a bypass in Eastern practice or teaching, you don't realize it. Because the teaching and practice doesn't get to buried emotions. You can have a sort of experience at the surface which looks like freedom, like real freedom, but it's not, because if you look, there's still suffering coming. But maybe it's less, and you dismiss it or downplay it. The point is, unless you go check into buried emotions, you can't say anything about whether suffering is over, frankly, is what I've learned. Because we keep these emotions buried and we tell ourselves that we're done because we want to stay safe and just be in that presence and be safe there from buried emotions. But the truth of the matter is that the buried emotions and the conditioning in there produce that suffering. So if we still have the buried emotions and we say in our mind, I think I'm done or I'm clear, the body keeps the score. So if you've got a disease coming, it's coming. Because if the emotions that you've buried cannot be expressed as a result of your realization or practice, they still have to be expressed. But it could be as a disease or chronic pain or addiction. And the sad thing about that is that many of the people didn't put two and two together. Some people came back to KI once they got a diagnosis, once they saw what they were missing. But, you know, I think that they're just kind of the lucky ones. It's just really easy not to connect all those dots and to see that, okay, I was on a spiritual path. My system made me avoid buried emotions. I got into a bypass in which there was definitely some benefit, because there always is with bypass, but then I got stuck there and actually programmed myself into a state of safety, which was just not embodying presence, not going all the way, but I didn't know that I was doing it, and then I put myself at risk because of it, is another way of saying it. But that's always hindsight. That's always, you know, reverse engineering after the fact. People come here and then they do the work and they see, oh, all of that was just driven by the need for safety, of course. And they finally see it, but it's only then that they see it. And when they process the buried emotions. Up until that time, everything is just this bamboozle, including even around shame for people. We have to constantly lie to ourselves. The unconscious is driving everything. And then what we're telling ourselves are these stories that really aren't relevant to what's going on. Because what's really just going on is fear at the unconscious level, creating suffering for safety and love. I don't know how to be more simple about it, because that's actually what's going on. I mean, you could elaborate on that a little bit. So anything that's more complicated than that will distract us from the fact that we've got mind-body connections of frozen fear driving everything. So the shame thing is really relevant on this point, because shame is fear in part, We're afraid to be seen. And for a long time, I didn't understand what that was all about. I mean, afraid to be seen, even I didn't even know what was it about me that I didn't want to be seen. But I felt that in my body when I first tried repression inquiry. Yeah, I'm afraid to be seen. And it was the same contraction that held the I'm afraid to express anger too. And it was almost like the same contraction or very close. And I saw in that that the reason that I'm afraid to be seen, the thing that I'm most afraid to be seen is doing or being is angry. And that's what it was all about the whole time, is that that fear of being seen and the shame would pop up whenever I would get upset or close to anger, and it would just shut that anger down for me. And then not long after, I would pick up an addiction or go use something just to make sure it's down so I can get love and approval and be false with you, right? I don't know why that's funny, but it is. Well, when you go into shame, you find that fear. It's a fear of being seen. And mostly, it's a fear of being seen angry if you're an anger repressor, or hurt if you're a hurt repressor. And so anything and everything in our lives which could lead to the expression of that buried emotion potentially has shame attached to it. Potentially. Think about that for a moment. Anything that anyone could call you out, if you're an anger repressor, anything that you're doing in your life in which somebody could call you out on it or expose you or something, you can't get angry in any of those situations if that happens. I want you to look and see how disempowering that is for you. And that's been going on since childhood. The things that you hid about yourself, or when people made fun of you. And then you feel that shame over all that. This is so critical to see as an anger repressor. So take the time to really get this. Let me just tell you my story, and your story is going to be somewhat similar. Different facts. When I was a kid, everything that felt really good or any true feelings had to be hidden. So if I was angry, hidden. Pleasures, sex, other things, hidden because of the shaming. Now, as an anger repressor, I didn't have a right. I didn't feel like I had a right to even defend myself around those things. So for the rest of my life, I hid those things from people. But I didn't understand why I was hiding them. It was because of the buried anger. These are things that I could never defend myself around. I had no voice around. I couldn't own these things. The people around me and society made me from a very early age be against my own desires and true feelings. So there I was hiding things that were pleasures for me, things that I liked, actually. And I felt bad about the things that I liked. Like I'm not supposed to like those things, which made me like them and want them more because the shame attached to them. And then I'm just leading this very typical anger repressing double life by the time I'm an adult. I've got this one side of me that people see, which is the good one, compassionate, nice guy, peaceful, kind of people pleaser. And then this other side, which is raging and likes to do this and that, kind of wild, and hides all that. Just a complete duality. And then coming onto the non-dual scene, and am I opening to the anger or this duality that's buried? No. I'm presenting and accumulating more of the good identity, but not knowing it. And it's a simple thing. It's not like I was telling stories. Here, awakening makes me really good. It's all energetic and unconscious. I would be sitting there in quietness, stillness, and this would be operating at a level that I couldn't detect. I was just going down the wrong path by using spirituality in any way to get rid of or even hide these parts, even hide them from myself. That was not the way to embodied non-duality. That's just the way to more duality, literally, and to never embody freedom. And so I just didn't want it to be true. My body didn't want it to be true that to really embody freedom, I have to go to this one part that I'm really afraid of and ashamed of, the anger, and then integrate these other things that I've been hiding. It's like, I don't want to do that. That goes against, no, look, my core conditioning has just made sure that that will never happen. And then there's the resistance to KI right there. It's just a natural resistance because this suffering has always protected us. But the good thing about KI is you ease into it because, you know, these shameful behaviors, thoughts, addictions, they grab a hold of us and they're keeping us safe. So we bring anger repression in there in a way that feels safe enough, even if it's a slow pace to bring it in there on the shame and discover, okay, well, yeah, Scott's right. The reason that I feel ashamed is I'm afraid to get angry. But we can't see that until we do KI. And so it's real easy just to feel that shame and not do KI, even after you've learned it, because it's safer to just be ashamed than it is to feel and express the anger to the people that you love, or to defend yourself, or have to decide whether you have a right to. Because as kids, we're disempowered. We don't even think we have a right to defend ourselves around most things. We've just accepted that those parts of us are bad, and we live in this disempowered, repressed shame state. Fuck that. The idea that awakening would be some continuation of the I have to be good bullshit conditioning from childhood. Or that where this leads is that I have to come out here and be a good fucking boy. That's what freedom is? No. Nor is it coming out here and being a bad boy. These are places of safety for humans. It just keeps us safe to be good or bad. We don't have to be real then. If I can decide that something that I'm doing is wrong, I'll never have to defend or get angry if you bring it up. I won't be there when you bring it up. Oh, even if I'm physically present, if I have shame, I still won't be there. I won't hear you. I won't address the issue. Shame will always protect. When I was in really excessive addiction, I just felt shame all the time. And I had no idea that that was protecting me from like having real conversations with in real relationships with people, that I would always resort back to shame. And I always felt like people just didn't understand addiction. Like, they don't understand shame. But I didn't understand it. I was identified with it and using it to stay safe from my buried stuff. And it wasn't until the roles were reversed that I really even got this, that when I lived with someone close to me who had addiction then, much like I had had years earlier, and when I brought certain things up, just made the person ashamed. Even if I said it in the most loving way, and I realized that that's what shame is there for. It's there so that we won't have important conversations. Protects us from that. If I can just feel bad about what you're saying, we don't have to really deal with the issues. See, we just get to focus on how you're making me feel bad. See how it protects us. But this started in childhood, this idea that we have to feel bad about who we are or what we feel or what we like. We've been doing it for so long. We anger repressors. I want you to imagine a different way, if you haven't discovered it already, where you stop fighting yourself like this, trying to be good or peaceful or get rid of all your pleasures so you can get mom and dad's approval finally, or whoever it is you're seeking it from. That's what I was doing. It's like the final thing on my enlightenment path will be, here's Scott. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't upset anyone. He's very compassionate and peaceful. He doesn't do anything wrong. Very ethical. Ugh. Like that right there is who my father, who I was trying to be for my father. Obviously, I couldn't live up to that. So I had to hide the parts that didn't live up to it. So no, I don't buy those projections around what freedom ends up looking like. Because I think you just have to live it and see what it's like. And you have to throw away all that bullshit that tells you still that somehow not paying attention to buried emotions will somehow lead to freedom, because we're gonna even do recovery to get love and approval. Not just and awakening. Everything will be done for that reason. Or that driver. Because we're driven by that. Yeah, we don't want to see our realization, our freedom, as something that we finally get love and approval and stay safe in. We don't want that. That's suffering. So our actual realization will look nothing like we thought, because we were driven by repression. So whatever projections repression was creating is not reality. It's what we needed to believe or do to stay safe and get love. But when that is made conscious, then who we really are comes forth. And you know what? For me, it's there's so much more peace in being your authentic being than there ever could be in trying to be good or even trying to be peaceful. Because your whole system can finally relax and you stop trying to be something that you're not. Or hide from something that's very much a part of you. And then here's the kicker. Those of us who do anger repression work, when we watch that shame dissolve, and you will if you get to buried emotions, what you'll also see is this. A lot of it is not their fucking business. And it never was. But you didn't have the power to say that. You couldn't set boundaries in your shame. When we don't have shame, you can speak up and say, you know what? Yeah, I know you think. A teacher said, well, Scott Killaby's homosexuality is an issue and he needs to work on that. And all my life when I was bullied for that, I would just feel shame over that. But what I want to say to her is, fuck you. Unless I'm sitting on your lap, it's not even a concern of yours, really. And I'm not going to be sitting on your lap because you don't have a penis. But that's not personal to you. And don't make my homosexuality personal, because it has nothing to do with anything. Truthfully, we'll never know things like that until we do emotional repression inquiry. That who we are is actually okay. Thank you for listening. And if anybody's interested in working with shame in this unique and scientifically supported way, where you get to the root of it, the buried emotions, I have a 90-day intensive where I work with someone one-on-one, giving them everything KI has to offer, all in one package. Highly supportive program. But if one-on-one is not a thing for you, if it doesn't fit for whatever reason, you click on that same link in the description, which takes you, that link will take you to a free talk with me to talk about the one-on-one. But if you're not interested in one-on-one, the same link will show you my KI Jumpstarter group. And that might be a fit for you instead. Thank you for listening.